Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We do thank you for this facility for which we can worship you in. And Father, we pray that that indeed would be the case this morning, that we would worship you with all that is within us. Lord, help us to hear your word this morning. Incline our ears to it. Lord, may we be taught by your word. Father, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So what kind of friends do you have? Do you categorize your friends? Sometimes we do this. Do you have fair weather friends that show up when things are going good? Oftentimes when we ask each other how we're doing, we'll say, I've heard some guys say peachy. Right? Right, Bill? You say peachy. So when things are peachy, you have friends that show up. Do you have friends that are wealthy? Do you like to hang out with people that are wealthy? Or do you prefer friends who are a little wilder, kind of the life of the party? Always good for a laugh, bringing a joke to the scene. Always fun to play with and hang out with. Some of us have these friends that are the dark clouded friends, where they tend to bring the dark cloud with them wherever they go, and they love to squash all of our hopes and all of our dreams. Anything that we might set out to do, they might point out the mistake in doing so, right? These are good friends to have sometimes. You might have Pollyannish friends. You might have friends that don't seem very friendly because they only like the poor and the hungry. You might have friends that are loyal who come rushing to your aid when your basement floods. I have a lot of those friends, and I'm thankful for them. You might have some of those friends that are friends to all. They like everybody, but they can't really remember your name. They have friends all over the planet, though. And then there's the benevolent conditional friends. These are the ones who will grace you with their presence and bestow their love upon you only if your dress is hemmed just so. And then we all have these, the heckling friends. These are the ones that offer an insult at every opportunity only with the goal to spur us on toward good things. When I was in college, many of you know I was in a fraternity. You had 65 boys living in one house with a 75-year-old lady called a house mom and a cook. What could go wrong? We had three meals a day together. We studied together. We lived together. We slept in the same rooms. We worked together. We cried together. We spent a lot of time together. Now, those of you not familiar with the Greek system, it's an interesting place. It could be a good thing. In this case, it really wasn't. I had a really good friend in my fraternity. We were bosom buddies. We were connected at the hip. We were on a bike together everywhere, all over town. We would study together. I would go home with him on the weekends, and his mom would cook for us. We'd go to church together. His mom used to make these little snacks made from rice chex and chocolate and powdered sugar. And I won't say what we called them, but she would bring them for me because she knew I loved them. So she would bring them just for me. It was like having a mom away from home. This is how close we were. We worked together all one summer, and he lived in my house here in Littleton. Well, then my junior year, I was elected president of the fraternity in November. And then the Lord drew me to himself in about January, February. And then I was installed as president on February 21st. So the Lord kind of played a little trick on these guys, because they elected one guy, but they got another. They elected an old man,
but they got a new man. And this didn't really go well. I had some pretty tough choices. Deuteronomy 13:6 says, "If thy brother, thy son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let's go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father," skipping to verse 8, "thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him." Well, the nice thing about being a president in a fraternity is that you get your own room. So you didn't have to worry about waking up at night. I could lock the door. I remember walking down this narrow corridor in one of the hallways that I used to live in with my bosom buddy. And I was walking down the hallway. I kind of had a smile on my face. And here's my friend walking by the other way. He's a little taller than I was. And he had a look on his face that flash froze my heart. He didn't say hi. He didn't make eye contact with me. But he kept walking right by. Narrow hallway, about 3 feet. That was when I realized who my friends were and who they were not. We invest so much in our friendships. We lay a lot on the line. The problem is, often our friends become our idols. Our friends become God to us, and our complete sense of self-worth is derived from what our friends think of us or what our friends do with us. We dress like each other. We have the same phones. Andy and I had similar bikes. We like the same thing. Here we buy the same trucks. Or vans, or minivans. We shoot the same guns. We hunt the same animals. Our dresses are the same length. We like Mac better than PC. Did I say that? I didn't say that. As time goes on, though, our values change a little bit. As we grow, as we mature, as we don't mature. You know, God has us all on different paths and different processes. Different speeds, different gears. We grow at different paces. We have different giftings. And this, what I love about this in the Church of Jesus Christ, is that this all works together for the good. Is that all of our gifts are meant to be commingled into one and to work together for God's glory and His kingdom. But often what we see is that that's not the case. We like to be the same. Time goes on, we change a little bit, and yeah, we all have Ford trucks, but you don't have the right color. Or your dress really needs to be in a certain length. Not denim anymore. It's a floral pattern. And you have to have gotten it at a thrift store or made it yourself in order to be frugal. The Macs are best, but you can't get the new Mac because the old operating system is better. These are the things that you wouldn't think would separate close friends today, but they do. And they are. It's been happening for years. And parents, am I just talking to your children? No, I'm not. There was a day when we were all excited about the fact that we just homeschooled. But now our feathers get a little ruffled when we use different curriculums. And now our love grows cold toward each other over the brightest little things. Do we have the right number of children? Whatever that is. We need a new basis for our relationship. We have to move beyond the dresses. We have to grow past homeschooling. It is a good thing, everybody, but we've got to move past this as making it our basis for friendship. We have to move past the Mac and PC argument easily. This, I only use this because Joel and I joke about this often. And we have a lot of fun with it. And I have a Mac now. I also used to joke because I had a Dodge truck and Joel and Bob Harvey had four trucks. And guess what the Lord gave me? I didn't have a choice, but the Lord gave me a Ford truck. So I'm thankful for it. So we need a new basis for our relationships. And, y'all, I want to help you to discover a new fad in social networking. It is one that will endure through eternity. And He is the greatest social networker of all time. He does not have a Facebook account. He does not tweet. And you do not have to check His blog to know Him. You can bear your soul to Him, and He will, with liberality, give you wisdom. He will comfort you. He will bear your sins and nail them to the cross and remember them no more. Do you have any friends to do this? He will free you from the heavy chains of sin that bind you up. He will take your sins of scarlet, and He will make them to be white as snow. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. You'll obey Him if you love Him. And He makes it easy to do. He will make you to soar on wings like eagles. You know, as we read the Psalms, we learn that He is our all in all. He is everything to us in every situation. There is no friend that can do this to you. Will anyone in this room make you an equal heir to their father's estate? Quit expecting things from your friends. Look to your left. Look to your right. Think about your family and your friends who are not in this room. Quit expecting things from them. Quit expecting your friends to make you happy. Husbands, wives, quit expecting your husbands to make you happy. Quit expecting your wife to make you happy. Because Christ is the only one who promises us to fulfill us in this way. All we do when we lay these heavy expectations down is drive them away. We squeeze and we push. And we're never satisfied. But Christ will satisfy us. He will give your friendships meaning and take them to deeper levels than ever before. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. When our confidence and hope are in our friendships, we are motivated toward self-love. But when our confidence is in Christ, who has died for us, who has given Himself for us, our motivations and our friendships suddenly change. It changes the field. And our motivations become for Christ. It becomes for others.
the object of our relationships are no longer self, but the object of our relationships become others. Maybe the question is not what kind of friends do I have, but what kind of a friend am I? Jonathan and David had one of the most unique relationships in the Bible. 1 Samuel 18 we read, "And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." Here's Jonathan giving everything that identifies who Jonathan is to David. He strips himself of his garments. He gives him his weapon. The thing I question here is, did man craft this relationship, or did God? Were they buddies because Saul had arranged playtime for David and Jonathan to be together? No. Who knit their hearts together? God did. God did this. And when we try to have friendships without Christ, they're just fake. They just walk down the hallway, go the other way, and they move on. God had great purpose in that relationship. And Jonathan loved David. He had no problem with David being heir to the throne. And God used Jonathan to minister to David. 1 Samuel 23, we read, "Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the woods, strengthened his hand in God." This is what friends do. In Job, toward the end, in chapter 42, we read, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend." I find that interesting turning point in Job's life and in his trial. When he prayed, when his heart softened for his friend, and when Job brought his friends before the throne of grace. Job 6:14, we read, "For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty." This is what friends do. Friends are kind to one another when there is despairing, because we do not want them to forsake the fear of God. That would be deadly. Proverbs 27:6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You see, meaningful relationships increase our faith and love for God. Meaningful relationships increase our faith and love for God. Meaningful friendships spur us on to love others more. We're not jealous when another friend spends time with someone else. We're not jealous if the friend loves the Lord God more than we and would desire to go and to worship the Lord on the Lord's day instead of going on an Easter egg hunt. Meaningful relationships help us to fear God when we are tempted with sin. You know, David had many friends who wanted him to take Saul's life. But David resisted. David feared God. He saw Saul as God's man, God's appointed king. He feared God. He did not fear man. Meaningful relationships are full of hope and not suspicion. Friends don't suspect friends.
If you are suspicious of folks, you're not their friend. Meaningful relationships wound our pride. This is a good thing. Because meaningful relationships push us towards dying to ourselves and living and walking in newness of life with Christ. I want my children to have friendships that will make them better men, better women, better husbands, better wives, elders and deacons, better workers, mothers, fathers. I want friends for my children that will spur them on toward faith. Friends will push them to run with vigor so as to win. Standing on the sidelines or running with them, cheering them on, yelling, "Keep running! Keep running! Get up!" This is what friends do. This is what real friends do. Real friends love at all times. I've had some say, when we're talking, say to me, "I'm going to tell you this as a friend, not as an elder." And that is a really hard thing for me to hear. Because it's hard for me to be two different people at one time. And so, I can tell you that I will be your friend. And I don't know if I can be as good of a friend as Paul, who would forsake his own salvation if it meant that his friends would gain their lives in Christ. But the good news is I don't have to. I do want to be a friend to you. I want to push you and your children into the arms of our shepherd, where you will be safe, where you will eat of green grass and drink of cool water, where you will be safe from your enemies, where you will be safe from those that wish to do you harm. And this for eternity. This is the kind of friend I want to be to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come before you, Lord, humbly. Oh, Father, what a great friend we have in Jesus. For no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Father, may we be good friends. Lord, may you strengthen our relationships. But first, Father, I pray that you would strengthen our relationship with you, that our confidence might fully come from Christ and Christ alone. Father, may our entire sense of self-worth and purpose be derived from our relationship with you. Father, may we know you. May we study your word. May we spend time with you and meditate with you. May we talk with you. Lord, without ceasing, may we pray. Father, we pray that we would be better friends to each other. Lord, help us to leave our expectations. Help us to leave them here and now. Father, we confess to you, we have relied too much upon each other, upon our friendships, upon other friendships, to bring us contentment, to make us happy, Lord, to have a good time, to bring a smile to our face. But Father, may our joy come from the Lord. Father, you are the giver of all things that are good. You are our friend. You have laid your life down for us. And Father, may we repent of not being a good friend to you. Lord, may we seek you more fully. May we walk with you more closely. And Lord, help us to love each other because Christ loved us first. Now we take a moment to confess our personal sins. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.